All right, can we hear it once more for our Bethel kids representing? Man, that's so good. Camp was amazing. It's one thing to see these kids on the stage here. It's a whole nother thing in the hard floor youth center, which echoes a lot. They're much louder in there. And it is a blessing to hear these kids praise and worship the Lord. Val was able to do our Bible story each week of camp, or each day of camp. Kind of felt like a week each day, but it was awesome. And getting to see the kids nod like it's unbelievable. Buckle up, because you've never been invited to serve in kids' church as much as you're going to get today. You too could have this experience next year. We got the dates for day camp. Say, hey, I want to be a part of that. I'm going to ask for some time off. I want to come with my own kids. I want to do it. We would love to get you involved in what we're doing. It's an incredible week just seeing so many families come here. We had over 130 kids registered for camp, which is just amazing. A large portion of them came from Lone Pine and other friends who were invited to do not go to church, let alone go to Bethel. And what an awesome thing to have them come here and sing and praise and worship Jesus. I've heard from a few parents of how much their kids have been wanting to minister after this and all excited about sharing Jesus. And I love that. We had 55 leaders. Come on. 55 leaders giving up their time. I'd ask them to stand, but they can't. They're still recovering now. It's amazing. They're not. Each year we do an offering for Feed One. Again, Feed One is an arm of Convoy of Hope that specifically feeds children in other countries. It's an incredible program. For $10, you can feed a child through their meal program for an entire month. We raised over $2,200 for Feed One. Just incredible. Lots of change, lots of pennies brought in, but lots of sacrificial giving. I've heard stories from parents already about kids emptying their banks and saying, this money's going to be better spent helping these kids out. So absolutely love that. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week, and something that made a difference in the lives of our students, maybe even made a difference in the family of these students. You see, the truth is, we never really know the impact that we make. I was talking to some missionary friends of mine, Joe and Emily Knapp. If you know them, they're missionaries in Ecuador, and they were driving through town. They're actually in Jacksonville today, speaking at a church there. And they were sharing a story of Laurel Ellis, who is also a missionary from Oregon, who was in Ecuador. And she did one term in Ecuador, a short stint of a couple years, and then did 30 years in Chile. The crazy thing was, in that first term, there was one young person, a child, who received the Lord through her ministry. And 30 years later, he's one of the most influential pastors in that country. He's the secretary for the whole Ecuador. You can clap for that. It's good. I need a second to wipe my eyes here. It's crazy. I'm actually allergic to kids, and so when I get this close, it's a burden, but I do it because the Lord called me to serve. But what an impact, right? If you were asked, oh, well, you probably made the real impact in the 30 years you were in Chile, and they did. They made so much impact. But yet, even in that short stint, God did something for the next generation. God did something that was going to change lives down the road, which we don't always get to see. We don't always get to see the impact that our presence matters. Your physical presence has impact. You chose to come to church today, which I'm so thankful. I know football hasn't really started yet, but it still counts. You came on a Sunday, and I love it. You're here. Your physical presence in this building matters. I don't know the impact that you'll have today. I don't know if it will be something that you find out later in heaven, like, wow, you have no idea what you did on that Sunday you attended Bethel Church. But don't assume that it doesn't matter. Don't assume that if you volunteered for kids' church, it wouldn't matter, because it would. It would help. It would be great, actually. There is a table out in the lobby. You can sign up. We have a meeting next Sunday, and we would love to get you involved in what God is doing. How many of you have a body? So, with me, thank you, some of you. We all have a body, and it is actually incredible. The body, made up of organs, tissue, cells, bones, muscle, is probably, well, it is the greatest, like, machine thing made. There's nothing that can compare to the human body. Learned a couple interesting facts this week. Because I'm a kids pastor, and I was trying to do my sermon, and then I spent the whole time looking up facts about the human body. But did you know that when you shout, your brain turns down your hearing so that you won't hurt your own ears? It doesn't help if your spouse shouts or your kids shout. We're not there yet. The science hasn't got there, but your actual body calculates it. It says, oh, let's turn those ears down. Let's not hear that as loud, which also means you might be louder than you think. Just tuck that away. Also, kind of an interesting fact that may freak you out for the rest of this hour, but your brain ignores the fact that your eyes constantly see your nose. I know, that may ruin you for weeks. But your eyes are looking at your nose all the time, and your brain just deletes it unless you start thinking about it. And then this is going to be a rough couple of days for you, and I'm sorry, but it's incredible. Our bodies are incredible. But you know what else? Our church is incredible. In fact, our church working and doing things in our community that are incredible, so valuable. Our presence matters. We take that seriously because we take Jesus wherever we go. The Apostle Paul made this connection that the church is like a body. He says in Romans, also in 1 Corinthians 12, which is what I'm going to read from, 1 Corinthians 12 says this: just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But God, in fact, has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. He talked about this in many of his letters, this thought that the church is like a body. I know that means one thing. If we are going to be the body of Christ, if we are going to be the church, it's going to take all of us. Now, I want to say it's going to take all of us in kids ministry, but we don't literally need all of you unless you're taking that from the Spirit, and then please, you can sign up today. But it is going to take all of us. My goal, anytime I preach, I don't want you to leave here feeling more burdened than when you came in. When I say all of us, it takes all of us to be the church. I don't want you to be stressed out at that. Some of you have been coming. You like sitting in the back. You don't want to talk to anybody. You want to receive and you want to leave. I'm not telling you today that you need to drastically change that. But I am telling you this. Please do not think that your physical presence in this body doesn't matter. Please do not undervalue the impact that you could make in this community or that this community could make in you. The truth is, we need each other. We together are the body of Christ. We together make the church. And oftentimes, it's easy for us to think, well, somebody else is obviously going to do that. I don't have to get involved. I don't have to join a life group. That would be weird. I don't want to go to a men's Bible thing. It would be boring, which they wouldn't be. They'd be awesome. But we have a tendency to push the desire to be around each other, to push it aside. There's several reasons for that. Sometimes it's just time. We just don't feel like we can make that effort here. Sometimes your schedule, you know, you're busy and your energy. You don't have enough energy to be here and be involved in what we're doing in Bethel. For some of you, it's because you don't think that you're worthy of being loved, that you don't think you're good enough. Over the past 3 years, I've been given the opportunity to speak a little more often, which if you knew me 3 years ago, you would have heard me say, it's literally going to kill me. I hate speaking to adults. It's way easier to speak to kids. It really stressed me out. It was incredible to see how God used, obviously, the unfaithful heart of Pastor Randy, who could have 3 years ago listened to the Lord. Probably something like that. Or potentially God knew Pastor Ben needed to grow, knew Pastor Roger needed to grow. He knew our church needed to be right, and we needed to grow as a church. Well, throughout that time, God has been putting a very clear message on my heart. And I'm not saying this is the last time that I'm ever going to speak. But being that I'm up here now, I got to preach this to you. Because Shannon Howe, you matter. You matter to God. You are significant. You are important. In the scheme of God, in his plan for our world, you matter. And what has led you up to this point? God has been with you every step that you've taken. God loves you. He cares for you. And he wants you to be a part of what he's doing in our world. Now, there might be some of you who you're not on the team. You're not a Christian. You're just here today. I don't think that's an accident either. I think God has a step for you today to take. Some of you have been here for a short time or a long time. I think God has a step for you to take today. Because we need you. We are not the church without you. It takes all of us. When I was in third grade, my parents got divorced, which is really hard. Thank you for that one person who awkwardly laughed right there. Getting, as a child, it's very complicated. There's a lot going on. It's hard to think it through. I am the third of four kids. My parents had made the decision. It was like, you know, all the things, and they said, hey, we're divorced. It wasn't a long, drawn-out process. It was just an announcement, and then everything changed. It's crazy, as an adult thinking back, how laughable this is, but as a child, man, it was hard not to think, what could I have done differently? If I would have been better, would my parents have got divorced? If I would have cleaned when I was supposed to, if I didn't fight with my siblings as much, you know, could I have made the difference? Consequently, my mind didn't get this, but I was actually going through a very normal thing, that kids, all kids, you know, from that third to maybe eighth to, you know, ninth grade are going through this stage where they're deciding, do I have what it takes? Can I accomplish things that I want to accomplish? Can I succeed? If you were smart like my wife, Stephanie, you would know, of course, this is Eric Erickson and his stages of development and industry versus inferiority. But we've all gone through this period where we had to decide for ourselves, am I good enough? Can I be what I want to be? Can I do what I want to do? Do I have what it takes? Being at the beginning of that journey and having my parents separate really solidified that for me. That I was not good enough. And that I couldn't really make a difference. I couldn't do what God really wanted me to do. So life goes. Continue to grow. And I have to say, without a doubt in my mind, that belief did not change until the day I gave my life to Jesus. And from that point on, experienced the presence of his Holy Spirit whispering to me that I was his beloved. And that he cared for me so much. And that even though I knew and he knew I made so many mistakes and made so many wrong choices, that those didn't matter in comparison to his love and grace. That every wrong choice would be forgiven. That every mistake would be redeemed. It was the riches that I had in Christ that transformed my life. to be able to change that belief to, you know what? I don't know if I have what it takes, but I have a Savior who's going to supply every need I have. And he's going to be with me every step I take. Every heartbreak, every breakup with a girlfriend, every girlfriend that I prayed, God, why, get us back together. I'm so thankful because I ended up with Steph, so it all worked out. God did not answer all those prayers. Because he knew, and he's God. Church, if you are feeling today that you don't think you have what it takes for what's coming at you, that the burden is too heavy, that what you have is not enough for the task, God has you. God is with you. And the truth is, you are not alone. In fact, we are a body of Christ that is meant to carry and lift each other's burdens. And that means we need you. We need you with all the mistakes you've made. We need you with all the wrong decisions. We need you. And there's no room for us to judge you because we've made mistakes. We've made the wrong decisions ourselves. God is ready to move in this church, amen? God is ready to see a new generation of worshipers. To see kids, parents, grandparents praising the Lord together. But if we want to see God move, you need to stand up. I just wanted to see if anyone would physically stand up, but thank you, Grace. Thank you, Grace. But you need to get up. You need to be ready. Because the truth is, God wasn't just speaking to me that I was his beloved. That helped me. It helped heal some of the wounds I caused and the lies I believed about myself. But there was another word, and that was, I was also strong and courageous. That no one could come against me because I had him. That I was more than a conqueror, and that he had my back through any situation. Now I have a special guest I want to invite up. His name is Tim Holmes, and you might remember Tim. He was just up here on the conga drums. Come to find out, you speak all week at camp, and you try to half your sermon on the day you're supposed to speak. So Tim's going to pick up where I left off, talk to you guys about being strong and courageous.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Thank you for this opportunity to get before you guys again. I'm excited for where the church is going and the direction it's going. I want to congratulate my new friends, Pastor Randy and his wife and his family. Like Pastor Ben said, they didn't hear the Lord 3 years ago. But that's okay. That's okay, because we had some trials we had to go through and we had to dig through before we could get the right people here. So God knows what he's doing. God has a plan, and he's always had the plan. It wasn't our plan, but it was his plan. And he always had it in order. And look how it's worked out. Our church is still together, right? After 3 years, we have flourished. Pastor Rogers has done a great job. Pastor Ben, Pastor Daniel, and all the workers that's been there with them have done a great job. They've done an awesome job. And so I commend everyone that was involved, the board and the search committee, everyone that was involved there. God had the plan, not us. So I'm bringing this morning, and I want to talk. I had to write a couple things down that Pastor Ben was telling me that he didn't tell me about. Body. And we are one. We're together. But within that one, God's got the plan for you. And God wants you to understand and to know that you don't have to go it alone. You're not by yourself. You're not the one that has to say, well, if I can do this, and I know I can't, but nobody's going to help me. See, we always come back to a poor me attitude sometimes, but we don't have to do that. So this morning, strong and courageous, we have to stand to the plate and be strong and very courageous. Strong meaning, in biblical terms, we'll talk biblical terms this morning, strong and courageous mean the power, meaning steadfast, meaning firm, meaning mighty, meaning unmovable. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, it talks about being strong and being courageous and not moving. And then being courageous is basically trusting in God. You're trusting in Him for what He's going to do, not for what you can do. We're talking about the next generation. And the only way we can teach the next generation is if they see us being strong and courageous. If they see us being what God has called us to be and not being weak when something happens. That we're standing in the midst of the storm. That we're standing in the midst of trial. That we're standing no matter what comes up against us. And I'm going to talk to this morning and go to you with out of Joshua 1. And this is how, about Moses and what Moses did and how he trained Joshua to become that leader. God already had appointed Joshua, but then Moses had trained him and he put him through things and put him in front of armies, and the victorious things that's happened up till this time were great. But the only thing is they never reached the promised land with Moses, and Moses knew that wasn't going to happen. And that's why he told Joshua back in Deuteronomy, I think it's 34, he said to be strong and courageous. Joshua, this is what you're going to need to do. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to come up against you, so be strong and courageous. That's where we're at today. Moses discipled Joshua, and now Joshua was going to be the next generation, and then he became the now generation. We have a duty. We have a duty. God has called us. And I don't know, you may have walked into this morning and thought, oh, I'm going to get this. But I believe that God is going to nudge each and every person today. There is something that God wants you to do, but you never stepped out into it. We have the duty. God has called us all to lead the next generation. So ask yourself this question. How many of you ever stood at the edge of a new chapter in your life? Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new city. Maybe it's a new family decision or family deal you need to go through. You knew you should take that step forward, but you are unsure what awaits. You're unsure. You didn't know what awaited you. You didn't know what was going to happen. You were unsure, so you were very hesitant. This is where Joshua was, getting ready to go into the new chapter. He already knew this was going to happen because Moses already had told him. He already knew what was going to happen, but he didn't know if he could take that next step. And so God knew exactly what was going to happen. Our next generation needs to see us stand through trials, stand in every midst that comes up against us. Our next generation needs to see faith that rises up against us and faith that rises against the enemy that says you can't do it, but God says you can. Joshua watched Moses. Don't you know our kids, our next generation, are watching us? They're watching us. What are they? Oh, hey. Even though I didn't grow up, I grew up in a pastor's home. So I was a little different than Pastor Ben. And Ben, Pastor Ben, I'm not going to laugh. But I was a little different. I grew up in a pastor's home. So I got to see the trials, the situations, and everything that my family went through and my dad went through, the struggles with the church. This is what they're going through, and that's what they're going through. So I got to see the ups and downs of it, and I believe that prepared me for where I'm at today. I really do. And so that's what Moses did. Now, Moses is gone. Moses is nowhere to be found. I bet the people were very unsettled. They have been led by Moses all these years. And then all of a sudden, oh, what are we going to do? That was our church, right? 3 years, we'd be led by Pastor Roger all these years. Here comes Pastor Randy. But let me tell you something. There is a plan, and you guys better get on the train because the train is a moving, and God's got a plan, and good things are going to happen because he is trusting in God. Hallelujah. So that's what Moses was doing. And then they were supposed to reach the promised land, but they never got there. They were supposed to go and claim the land with Moses, and now they're saying, what? Now there's Joshua? What about Joshua, really? Who is this guy? Who is this person? We see what God wants us to do, but fear begins to strike in. Fear always steps in and says what you can't do. See, it's self that steps in. And we take our eyes off of God, and self begin to step in. But let's look at what it says in Joshua 1. Joshua 1. And see, and God had basically told him, Joshua didn't have time to mourn. He didn't have time to go through anything. He didn't have time to, have pity party for himself. All he had time for was to move forward with God and trust in him. That's all he had time for. Look what it says here. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. So he tells them right off, Moses, my servant, is dead. And that's all he says. He doesn't say anything else. My servant Moses is dead. And then the next sentence says, now, therefore, arise. Arise. This is where you are in your chapter. This is where you are in your life. You have to arise, and you have to stand up and be tall. Put your chest out, and it's time to take a step. Because look at what he says here. Arise, go over the Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving to the people of Israel. God has already given them the land. All they have to do is arise and walk with him. That's all you have to do this morning. There's something in your life that God has been talking to you about. All you have to do is arise, take a step out in the next chapter, and walk with him. Not walk with yourself. This is not about you. This is about him. Hallelujah. Oh, you can clap. It's all right. I don't mind. Man, yeah, you could clap. You could shout. You could do whatever you want. But listen what it says here in verse 3. God's promise to the land. The land wasn't going to be given by human strategy. It wasn't by their own human thing, but it had to be given by God. Look at what he says in verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. The promise that God made to Moses, he gave to Joshua too. The promise that God gave to Moses and Joshua, he gives to you today. All you have to do is step out and know that under your feet, God is working with you. That under your feet, God is blessing you. God is touching you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You know that God is with you. All you have to do is step out. Step out. Hallelujah. That's all you got to do is step out. Look at God promises Joseph divine power. The same power that God provided for Joseph, he will provide for you today. Joshua 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. This is what God wants you to know today, that nothing can come against you. I don't care if somebody is talking about you. I don't care if they say, well, what are they doing and why are they doing that? It does not matter, because God's not going to forsake you. When you put your eyes on him, God will take care of you. God will walk with you. When you take out a step out into the deep, God will be with you. Hallelujah. 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 Look at what it says. I want to bring another scripture out. I'm sorry. We'll bring another scripture out here. Matthew. Everybody know the scripture. Matthew 14, verse 22. Look at the power that Peter had. Woo! This should get you shouting right here. The power that Peter had. Because the same power that Peter had, you have this morning. Let's go there. Let's go there. I marked it so I didn't have to fumble around. I'm still fumbling. I'm going to read the, excuse me. I'm going to read the whole story here. Not the whole story, but immediately, verse 22, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." You know the other immediately that just struck me just right now is Paul and Silas, when they were singing praises. And seeing, that's another thing you could do, is begin to sing praises to God and know that he's going to be with you. I tell you, everything begins to just go away. Your doubts begin to drop off. You don't have to worry about what somebody else is saying, because I guarantee you right now, these disciples were so scared and they were so shook up in your situation. Sometimes you get so scared, so shook up that you don't know what to do. But listen what it says here. It says, "Take heart. It is I." Jesus is talking to them and saying, "It is I." God is telling you this morning, it's him that's going to draw you closer. It's him that's going to take you through. It's him when you step into that new chapter. It's him that's going to draw you closer, and you will not be forsaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, take heart. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen. Don't be afraid to step out into the deep. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what's about to happen, because God got you through. Listen, and Peter answered him. He said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. Come on. Can you imagine what the other disciples were thinking? I'm in the boat with Peter right now. And I'm thinking, Peter, what are you doing? You talking about you asked him to come? Hey, you going by yourself. I'm not going with you. Yeah, you on your own this time. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But a wind struck up. A wind came in, and a wind scared him half to death. And it just did something to him. But listen, let me tell you something. Peter's eyes was on Jesus. Peter's eyes was on him. When he stepped out of that boat, he was looking eye to eye with Jesus. He was walking with them. How many of us go through that? And I bet the disciples were saying all kinds of garbage. Peter, what are you doing? Don't do that. Get back in the boat. You're going to drown, Peter. You can't listen to what people are saying. You can't listen to the talk around you. You got to trust in God. You got to believe what he's talking about. You got to believe what he's saying. If you turn your eyes toward Jesus, Jesus will bring you through. Woo! That's why I tell you, this is exciting. This word right here is so exciting. It's so exciting to know that Jesus, even in that day, he's still walking with us today. Right? Give God a little praise. Hallelujah. But he says here, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. That's what happens to us when we take our eyes off of him. We begin to sink. It's like quicksand. We can't move. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, that's because you took your eyes off of him. I'm not saying everything's going to be smooth sailing. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying, and what I'm trying to tell you, this morning, when you put your eyes on the man that stills the water, when you put your eyes on the man that calmed the seas, when you put your eyes on the man that did everything for you, I know you can make it. And I know you can go to that next chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he says here, Peter asked the Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? When we begin to sink and when we take our eyes off of him, we sometimes will keep our eyes off of him and wonder, where are you, God? You be talking to everybody else but him. Everybody else comes into the conversation but him. That's when doubt creeps in. That's when the enemy comes in to seek, to steal, and destroy. But the rest of that says, but God come that we might have life to the fullest till it overflows. That overflowing life this morning. Okay, so Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you a little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. See, when God gets with you, everything begins to cease. The power of God is so strong. The power of God is so strong. So, the core. charge for Joshua was to be strong and courageous. Step into your next chapter with God's divine power. And I know, I got to say this because Pastor Ben said he wouldn't have never let me up here if I don't say it. There's a table in the back. I don't know what you do there. There's probably a few different tables. Pick one table, I guess. I don't know. And it sounds like he's already got dates for next year. So it sounds like he said it was no pressure. There is pressure. He wants you to sign up today. Get the time off work today. Let him know. He said, you know, they had 50 servants this year, but he wants like 150. So come help out. Anyway. But the core charge for him was be strong and courageous. The Christian courage is rooted in the faithful obedience that you have to God. Okay? The faithful obedience that you have to him. And one thing I really want to say is that we have to spend time with God. We have to spend that time with God and letting him know that we are there to feel his presence, to feel that what he has planned for us and the next chapter we're going through, he's with us. We have to spend time with him. That's why I tell you this every single time. Every single time is that spending time with God. And look at what he said. Look at what he said, Joshua, and what God said to Joshua. He says right here in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." This was what God had given Joshua. He said, "This is all I want you to do. I want you to put this word inside your heart." And that's what God's calling us to do this morning. That's why I try to read Psalm 23 every single day. "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want." Just that little snippet right there kind of puts something in you and makes you feel a little good. It makes you feel good. The Lord is, and you have to speak it out. You can't just read it. You have to speak it out. "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." This is you're knowing that God is protecting you. When you take a step, your shepherd is God, and he's protecting you. He has his arms around you. When he sent his son Jesus, he did something for you. When he hung on the cross, when he bled and died for us, that was a thing that God had for us, and he already had prepared for us. So when you get up in the morning, you know the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me lie down. I've got green pastures all around me. All around me. I'm walking in green pastures. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what happens. I'm walking in green pastures. Hallelujah. So, at this conclusion, which I'm not done, but all the way to the back here. God will meet you in your next season. The next season, God wants you to think about the next generation. Give you something to talk about. I don't know if you guys are meeting tonight in your groups or not. Give you something to talk about, though. Where is God calling you to act? Where is God calling you to act? Where is God calling you to step out? Where's that God calling you to step into your new chapter and step out into the deep and follow him? There might be some ups and downs through all that. But that's okay. It's not going to be perfect. But God wants to meet you. God wants you to know that you can call up on him. And when you meditate on his word, he's right there with you. So it starts with us. The next generation is watching us. And I don't know what you came in with this morning, or, you know, this issues, problems. Let me tell you, God is here. No matter what, God is here. Step into the next chapter with courage. Anchor yourself in the Word of God. God will pull you through. Walk forward in faith. Can we do that? Worship team, come up. Please. This last song we're singing, I Have a Friend in Jesus. He is everything to me. I have a friend that will stick closer than any brother. I have a friend in Jesus. Just knowing what he has done for us, and knowing what he has done for me, knowing what he has done for you, and knowing what he will do for you and what he will do for me. So amazing. I want you guys to leave here with something right now. Something that God wants you to have, and that's him. He wants you to grab hold of it this morning. He wants you to hold on to it this morning. He doesn't want you to let it go this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. And I don't know, I always, when I come before you, I want to offer this opportunity for anyone that has not accepted Christ as your personal Savior. If you've fallen away and you want to come back, I want to offer this time to you right now. Right now. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today. God is probably nudging at you, but you're saying, I'm going to tell you what I said. When I was younger, I was probably 15. And my dad had came to me and asked me if I wanted to help out with the youth and wanted to be. But I knew God had called me. I already knew. He had called me to preach the gospel. I knew it from the beginning. And I was telling my dad, I said, man, Dad, I'm going to wait until I get older. I'm too young. I said, well, maybe age 40, because then, you know, I'm old then. Shoot, I'm 52 now. That's not even old. It doesn't feel old. But God is calling you right where you're at. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. You said, oh, I missed the mark. I couldn't do it. Yep. God want to use you too. So as we pray, if there's anyone here, you don't even have to raise your hand, that you have within yourself saying, I don't know anything about what you just talked about, but I know God is nudging me this morning. If you came in this morning and you said, God was already tussling with you and pulling you, and now you want to step in and walk in the deep, and God, knowing that God will be with you, I want to pray with you as well. So let's just lift our hands all over this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We love you for who you are and for what you've done. Father, we made mistakes. I've made mistakes. I've fallen. I've failed you at times. But God, here I am this morning, asking you to lift me up, to get back into the saddle with you, to get back into praising your name, to get back into worshiping your name. And so, God, if there's anyone here that says that I don't know you, but I want to get to know you, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you touch them where they're at right now. And Father God, you call us to step into new chapters with courage, not in our own strength, but by your presence. Help us to be people who root our lives in your word, who meditate on the scriptures day and night, who do not turn to the left nor to the right, but we're looking straight ahead with you. Father, that we remain steadfast in obedience. May we feel your presence with us as you were with Moses and Joshua, and may our lives be marked by faithful action. And we take those steps of faith with you. Father, give us courage to face what lies ahead. As we take a step into that next chapter, give us courage. Give us wisdom to lead the next generation. Give our leaders the wisdom and understanding that they need to lead our leaders. Father God, I'm asking you to be our strength and our guide today. Father, you're number one, not number two. You're number one. And when we get up in the morning, we're going to say, the Lord is our shepherd, our shall not want. And we're going to know we're walking through green pastures. Hallelujah. So we love you today and we say, thanks for loving us. Thanks for doing what you do. And thank you in advance for what you're going to do here at Bethel on the hill. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Everybody say it. Don't go nowhere. We're going to sing this last song. I don't want to see y'all leave out that. So I see you guys every Sunday. I'm telling you, I'm watching you. See you every Sunday. You'll be walking out that door. Don't walk out that door. Unless you just have to. All right.